Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City. Mm-hmm. David, it's cold in Texas. What's it like up there? I know y'all are probably below.
They got a little cold. We're into the 20s. Okay. Not too bad, but you know, all of a sudden everyone thinks it's this polar thing. Just a couple years ago, it went down to 9. So.
Well, they were talking, fine. Yeah, they were talking something like 15 degrees in Texas here in the next couple of days. And
You had the whole polar thing coming down.
Yeah. Going to be crazy. Anyway, we have got a jam-packed show for you guys today. And before we get into it, I'm going to ask Mr. David Paxton if he'll pray us into this show.
All right. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for this time where we can spread your word. We can examine the things that are going on in the world and relate them back to your return. And we're looking forward to that day. Looking forward to bringing many with us and seeing how many people are saved from this show. And we'll get to see them in heaven for eternity. So we give you all the praise. We ask that you would send forth your wisdom and insight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, I'm going to show you guys what we've got scheduled for today. And you know, if you follow the show at all, that we tend to go wherever we want to go. But this is what I expect to talk about today, which is Gaza. The ceasefire is going to take place. Then we've got Donald Trump and Israel's future. You guys are going to want to hear that. Then there is the Russian-Iranian, they have agreed to a 20-year alliance, which falls right into Bible prophecy, and we will get into that. And then we're also going to talk about the inauguration, the fact it was moved inside. And then I've got a special part here. You see the mass casualty event? I've got a question mark on it because I'm not going to say that this is definitely going to happen, but I'm getting some information from the CIA. I'll just leave
They're probably planning it.
Yeah. I'll just leave it there for now. Anyway, because we are a news show, I do want to wrap up the week, first of all. So let's listen to this. And we're, as we say, farewell to whoever's running the country here.
From Feature Story News in New York, I'm Sally Patterson with a look back at some of the week's top stories. U.S. President Joe Biden gave his farewell speech to the nation this week. The outgoing president warned that an oligarchy is forming in the United States as he cautioned against the concentration of technology, power, and wealth. He also hailed his administration's accomplishments during the address from the Oval Office. This comes ahead of Donald Trump's inauguration on Monday. Kate Fisher reports from Washington.
He spent some of the speech trying to define his presidential legacy, speaking about some of his achievements like investment in infrastructure and fighting climate change. But also in a departure from that, he spent most of his speech trying to defend US democracy and talk about the importance of it and the importance of protecting it. There were several warnings within this speech, one of which he spoke about a growing oligarchy, the concentration of very wealthy, many billionaires, in fact, that surrounds President-elect Donald Trump, warning of having that much power and wealth concentrated in just a few people.
Okay. Now, I don't know.
That's rich.
I don't know if you guys are paying attention there or not, but he's saying there's an oligarchy. I hadn't even heard this word until maybe a few years ago. You know,
really?
Why don't they just call it a group of people? You know,
because malarkey. You know, remember he started out with no malarkey and put on his bus. Corn pop. We forgot about corn pop.
Oh yeah, I'll never forget corn pop. That you know, that was really stupid.
Anyway. It's crazy to me because here they are, you know, they got Soros, they got Bezos, they got Bill Gates, and they're all griping about an oligarchy.
Right.
You got tech, you got the commerce, and you got the world leader. I mean, those are exactly the people he's saying. Oh, you
what is it? Taylor Swift. You got George Soros. You got LeBron James. You got Oprah Winfrey, and yes, I pronounced her name incorrectly on purpose.
It's slimy.
But here's the deal. I typed into AI I want to give it a chat GPT. I want to give it I want it to receive the credit it deserves. Okay, so chat GPT. All I said is create a list of all Biden billionaire and millionaire supporters. And you know what the answer was?
The list is too big?
I can't do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't do that. In other words, it's a liberal thing that I just canceled today, and I'm going to something else. Because, you know, if they can't do it, then they're worthless to me. So, you know, that's just the way that is. Okay.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. So let's go on now, though, and I want to get into Gaza. So let's start with this one. This I got this from Brix News, and it says that Hamas says that the ceasefire hostage deal with Israel would not have happened without Donald Trump. Now, that's coming directly from Hamas. So if you remember, they asked President Biden on his way out the door, you know, who's most responsible for it? Should the credit go to Donald Trump or you? And his response was, is that a serious question or something like that? And then he just said goodbye. He didn't say Trump, and he sure didn't say him, because he knew he didn't have anything to do with it. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny. And then this was forwarded from Blaze News. And actually, it came from Channel 14 there in Israel, where Qatar persuaded President-elect Donald Trump to exert pressure on Israel, which, combined with Trump's desire to end the war in Gaza, led to the hostage deal requiring significant Israeli concessions. Now, we touched on this a little bit before about our friend Amir Tesfaye there in Israel. This really come down pretty hard on Trump, and he's a Trump supporter. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, he said, given the choice between Trump and Biden, that he would have voted for Trump had he been an American citizen. But he's really come down on him, saying that he's exerting way too much pressure on this stuff. And I got one more for it, David, before we let you comment on it. This is also out of Israel, and this is, we don't make a deal with the devil. Hundreds blocking the entrance to Jerusalem, clashing with police. This is the protesters that are against the ceasefire. We've seen for months and months and months those that, you know, bring them home no matter what you got to do. Well, here's a group now that says don't do it until we got the right deal. So anyway, what do you think about all those together, David?
He's just told what to say. And, you know, when he really actually thinks that the stuff he's doing is making a difference, or anything that's good that happens, he's going to say, oh, I did that, you know. But he doesn't take credit for any of the failures. So obviously it's a mental problem. It's come to the point where it's just sad to see that here he is and they're parading him around. Remember the emperor has no clothes?
Right.
This is where we're at. He's got no clothes. So you know what I did while you were doing that too? I said, put in billion. Can I give me a list of billionaire supporters of Trump? And it gave me a handful. It was 3, 4, 5. And then I said, okay, now a list supporting Biden. And check this out. You got to know how to do this. I said, I apologize, but I'm unable to fulfill this request. Let me know if you need help with something else. So I said, why can you do Trump and not Biden? I can provide information on supporters of both Trump and Biden, but I aim to focus on presenting the facts in a balanced and neutral way. When it comes to political matters, I strive to avoid potential biases or appearing to favor one side. If you're looking for information on Biden's billionaire supporters, I can gather and share that as well. I said, that's what I look for. Would you like me to provide a list, prominent billionaire supporters of Biden? I was like, yes. Okay. So it actually came up with the list after that. So I think, somebody in there is trying to get him to, you know, to stop. You know, if you present it with logic, well, how come you can do him but not him? Oh, okay. It's the same thing that happened with the Roman numerals the other day. Because remember, it's not like it's intelligent.
Right.
It's just going it's and looking program. For information online.
It's
so if someone's in there and they might type that in, don't give this information out. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And so it just puts that in the algorithm. So it's not thinking. It's not like it's doing mm-hmm. anything. Yeah. So it came up with Bloomberg, Soros, Tom Steyer, Mark Cuban. What a clown he is.
Mm-hmm.
And Reid Hoffman for billionaires supporters of Biden. So you just got to ask it the right way, because you got to remember, too, the thing is not sentient, but there's other people who are on the other side who are using the same tool. That's where you got to go. So it's not really like it's liberal. You just got to realize, understand who's on the other side using this tool, putting stuff in, or what's it looking up. Because when I look up a lot of Bible things, it actually... It's
does a
quite
really good
accurate
job on that. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, because it's going online and it's finding the mm-hmm. information you're looking for and
right.
bringing it together. So there's
right.
a lot of people online who are putting this all together mm-hmm. correctly. That's why you have to understand it's not going to take over. You have to just understand the tool and how it works.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll give them another try. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, you get one strike.
Speaking of that, yeah, we still have two strikes on YouTube, which we don't upload to anymore.
I got one a couple weeks. It literally came out. It was the one we did, and I said, you know, vaccines are fake or something like that. And it's like instantly.
Yeah. Yeah. And the crazy thing is that every other platform is now allowing free speech except
yep.
YouTube and Google. And that's the reason I don't use Google. I use Bing. That's mm-hmm. the reason we don't upload to YouTube. We upload to Rumble. And I'm going to put something on YouTube they can't take down, which is going to, you know, I'm going to name their CEO. I'm going to talk to him directly. I'm going to ask him to come on the show and defend his censorship of American citizens. I'm going to go into big detail about it.
Okay.
Anyway.
And double dog dare him.
Yeah, I will. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. I'm good at that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I want to get back to the ceasefire here. So let's just begin. Okay. This mm-hmm. is the full details of the Gaza ceasefire agreement. Phase one.
I heard they busted it already. No?
Well, they have a couple of times, but not severe enough to take it, you know, not let it implement. I mean, we haven't even
all
implemented
right.
yet. Okay. So the phase one is 42 days. It's temporary suspension of hostilities. A temporary cessation of military operations by both sides. They will violate that within a week. Watch. See mm-hmm. if I'm right. Israeli forces will withdraw from populated areas in Gaza to a zone along the border, including Wadi Gaza, I guess is how you say that. I
yep.
have no idea how you say that other word. Netzarim.
Netzarim.
And Kuwait Square. Then the second detail here is air activity restrictions, which is a temporary suspension of military and reconnaissance air operations in Gaza for 10 hours daily, which is extended to 12 hours on days when hostages and prisoners are released. So before we go on, David, what do you have to say about that one?
Well, Hamas is not going to keep to it, number one. Number two, the only ones with air anything is Israel. So that's mm-hmm. highly against Israel. But I get where he's coming from, but that's what makes the Israeli, in particular, Amir Tsafardi, very upset
mm-hmm.
because it's like this is all essentially telling Israel to stop.
Yeah, and it gets worse. I'm going to tell you, it gets worse.
And I'm wondering if that's his chess game. And now you come in and say, listen, we had this thing. It was literally telling Israel to stop doing what they're doing. And look what you did, Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
Now all the, you know, the gloves are off, basically. I think that's the chess game he's playing. So, people will get upset at it for a while. But when you know mm-hmm. the end game, it's like, listen, we've exposed the enemy. This is what he did. Okay, hands off. You go at it. And then they'll take care of it their own way. And there's nothing anyone could say about it. Because if you're in there and Hamas does something, it's like, well, yeah, that's because Israel was bombing them. Well, here, if they're not bombing them, mm-hmm. okay, listen, we got our hands off. It's all peaceful. There's not even any reconnaissance. We're not flying over. We're letting you do what you got to do. and they do it anyway, mm-hmm. what recourse do they have?
Well,
I'm
let's
sorry,
look at,
we gave it a chance.
Yeah, let's look at it. It's mm-hmm. right here. Okay, Netanyahu, during the cabinet meeting where they did all this, President Trump's decided that upon taking office, we will receive back all the weapons that were denied from us by the previous administration, the Biden administration. So instantly, with ceasefire or not, they're going to go ahead and give Israel what Congress appropriated for them mm-hmm. and what Biden has been sitting on. So President Trump's going to release all that. It's important because if we do not reach phase two, we will have additional tools to return to fighting. Again, this is Netanyahu addressing his cabinet, telling them, you know, this is what the United States is going to do for us. And then the last thing there, President Trump is giving Israel full backing to return to the war in the event of violation of the agreement. So, you know, that's what you were just talking about there, David, yep. Israel would have a green light for the first time in this
yep.
thing.
And if I know the way, you know, he's been operating in the past, I would 99%, I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I
and
mean,
he's doing that on purpose.
I was trying to come up with something for the subtitle of today's show. We've got ceasefire in Gaza, number one, and I had what you need to know. And what I was trying to come up with everything possible that could happen, and it's almost impossible to mm-hmm. do that, you know.
Well, there's one thing we know for sure: mm-hmm. Hamas will lie and break whatever deal you have. So yeah. there's that.
Well,
Israel will win.
Yeah. What I was really going to get at was Bible. You know, what does prophecy say about it? And really, it's hard to break that down. And I think you mm-hmm. can probably do a better job than I could, but. According to the Bible, there's not going to be peace, true peace, in Israel or in Jerusalem until the return of Christ, right?
Yeah, true peace. There'll be the false one when he confirms a covenant, but that's a man-made peace, and so it's useless.
Right.
You know, it's like trying to say you're never going to yell at your kids again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, sure.
I got more on that later, but let's look at this next part of the agreement here. This is number three, is the return of displaced persons and military withdrawals. This happens on day seven, which would be a week from tomorrow if this falls into line the way it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on day seven, following the release of seven Palestinian prisoners, Israel forces will withdraw entirely from the Al-Rashid Street eastward to Salah al-Din Street. I have no idea what these streets are. Dismantling all the military positions. Displaced persons will return to their homes without weapons, and humanitarian aid will flow freely through the Al-Rashid Street for the first day. Then on day 22, Israeli forces will withdraw from central Gaza, Netzarim Axis, and Kuwait Square to areas closer to the border, dismantling military positions. Displaced persons will continue returning to their homes across Gaza, and freedom of movement for residents will persist. And I want to stop on that one before we move on to number four, because it looks to me, do you see Israeli prisoners being released on day seven? Because I don't. All I see is seven Palestinian prisoners, and also displaced persons returning to their homes. I'm assuming that's Palestinians back into Gaza, because it doesn't say Israelis.
Yeah, displaced. Yep.
Do you have comments on that? Because that's a pretty significant clause right there.
Yeah, I mean, again, it just goes back to, yeah, listen, they're going to do everything that you keep saying you want, and they're going to attack again. Mm-hmm. So here we are. It doesn't say anything about the prisoners in there, though. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why a lot of them are concerned.
Yeah, I'd be concerned.
Yeah, you know what? Mossad is the most advanced spy agency ever.
Yeah, just
think I'm back sure to got this figured out.
Exploding pagers. Think back to that. Yeah.
Yep. Because here's what I would do if I were them. We got this whole facade going on. Oh, yeah, we're going to back up. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But I can guarantee you I would have people in there pretending to be them, the displaced ones, and celebrating with them and going back mm-hmm. to the home. Yeah. And, you know, you know, where my alliance is. So yeah, this is just all that this cat and mouse game.
Yeah, I agree. Really. All right, go back here again, and we'll look at number four, which is humanitarian aid. It says, from the very first day, significant amounts of humanitarian aid, relief supplies, and fuel will enter Gaza, 600 trucks daily, including 50 fuel trucks. And this includes fuel for electricity generation, trade, rubble removal, and operating hospitals, clinics, and bakeries. All the same places that they put in, put their weapons in before, right? And then moving on from that, we got the
Let me stop there for a second.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Number one, we have the great bakery over here by me. It's called Butter Cookie. And they cook everything with butter, not like the seed oils that everyone does with today. So it's really good, old-fashioned bakery. All right, so that's a side note. What's going to happen with all these people is that they're going to do the same thing they did last time. Okay? All this aid is going to come in, and Hamas is going to steal it all and then sell it. Okay. 100%. You watch, that's what's going to happen. And I think maybe, you know, maybe he's baiting him for that too. Hey, we sent all this international aid for these displaced persons. Look how wonderful we're trying to be to them. And here's your buddies, Hamas, stealing it and selling it back to them at these much higher prices. They're extorting these people. Yeah. And that's going to happen, 100%. You watch.
I totally agree. And they also, in my opinion, will be putting weapons back into those locations as well.
Oh, yeah. They'll be rebuilding again.
That's exactly what they...
Because they ingrain it. When they're in kindergarten, they give them guns and say, what do you do when you see a Jew? You know, I'm not going to face the rest, but that's what they do.
Yeah.
So this is ingrained in their psyche.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, from birth. Basically. All right. Now, number five is the hostage and prisoner exchange. And this is where Hamas will release 33 Israeli hostages, alive or deceased, including women, children under the age of 19, elderly individuals over 50, and the injured and sick civilians. Now, look at this one. This is where I'm sure everybody gets upset. I would get upset at this one. For each Israeli released, Israel will release 30 Palestinian minors or women. And it gets worse than that. But what we're talking about here is they're going to release hostages which may be dead, okay? And in return for a dead Israeli, they get 30 Palestinians released. 30-1. I mean, that's kind of crazy. Now, you got the release schedule here is day one. Hamas releases a grand total of 3 Israeli civilians. Then they wait a week, and then on day 7 they release 4 additional Israeli citizens, and then every 7 days 3 more Israeli hostages will be released, prioritizing women. Then by the 6th week, Hamas will release all hostages, including in this phase, and Israel will release a corresponding number of Palestinian prisoners. Hamas will provide information on the number of hostages to be released by day 7. Rearrested prisoners and exiled individuals by week 6, Israel will release 47 Palestinians rearrested after the 2011 exchange deal. If the number of live hostages does not reach 33, deceased hostages will be included in the count. And then Israelis will release all Palestinian women and children under 19 detained since October the 7th of 2023. That's, of course, the day that they invaded Israel. What do you think of that?
Well, there's a number of things. Number one, does Israel even have female Palestinian?
I'm wondering that myself, yeah.
Yeah, so that might be a ruse in itself. But here's the deal. I'm seeing this. I'm looking at the outside, and I always examine things as, like, why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
This is creating what we call here in New York, I'm going to give you a deal you can't refuse.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
I do.
And typically that means, oh, you're going to do this for us, or you and your whole family is going to be dead.
Right.
But here's a deal so sweet for them. If they say no, the entire world is going to look at them like they're idiots. All right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the goal to all of this. Could is be. listen, you give us one, we'll give you 30. Mm-hmm. How could you say no to that? So if they do say no and say it's not fair, this, that, and the other, people are going to start to realize there's something wrong with these people.
They should, yeah.
And I think that's the goal here. So, you know, I'll reserve. Now, I can understand why Amir and several others are in here and say, oh, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at the chess game behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. Well, at least
but I understand that because, yeah, I would be upset too. No, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But then, well, if you understand the game, okay, let's do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's been very supportive of Trump, but, you know, in this particular case, he thinks Trump gave him a bad deal, forced a bad deal on him because, you know, he said that he wanted everything released. You know, he wanted this deal done before he was inaugurated or all hell was going to break loose, to quote the president.
Mm-hmm.
And now Amir goes on to say, David, that Hamas doesn't fear Trump, that Iran doesn't fear Trump. And there, I think he's way off base. I think that they definitely fear Trump. I don't think this deal would have happened if Kamala Harris had won. What do you think?
No, yeah, they would be doing more because they know she's not going to do anything and doesn't even know how. Yeah, yeah, you know what? I think he's mistaken on that.
I do, too. I do, too. I love the guy. Love listening to him. He knows the Bible very, very well. And, you know,
but I can understand it because he's, you know, he's raw in the middle of it all. So
that's it. I just think he's too close to it, you know, and it is too raw because of the fact, you know, these are Israelis that have been gone for longer than the hostages that were held back when Carter was in office, you know, by a few days. It's not a lot, but, you know, by a few days, they've been there longer. Okay, we don't have time to get into it right now, but the next thing we're going to talk about is the conditions that are in this. And that's something that we really need to hit on as well. David, only got a few seconds left if you want to go ahead and close out this half of the show.
Yeah, let's do it. You know, I mean, the whole reason we're here is not just to talk about the politics, but the fact that they have to do with Israel. And we're seeing these things line up in the Bible about the end of the age. That's what he talks about, the end of the age and all this chaos and mayhem. Mm-hmm. So that means Jesus is around the corner, folks. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't received him, I would encourage you to receive him now. It's very simple. Just accept the blood contract that he has for you, which pays off all of your sins. And that's that. So Lord willing, we will see you guys in the second half. Bye.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus?
Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on the left. David, did you have anything that you wanted to add to what we were talking about there in the first half before we move on?
Not really. I mean, and it's all this chess game. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. So my only question would be, is this the covenant that will be enforced?
That is that's a big question. And I've got something later on that may answer that. We just have to hang mm-hmm. on for it. Let's look at the conditions of this ceasefire. Compliance with the agreement, including halting military operations, Israeli troop withdrawals, and humanitarian aid, will determine the continuation of exchanges. In other words, mm-hmm. it breaks down, it stops. Released Palestinian prisoners cannot be rearrested for the same charges or forced to sign release conditions. That is, how do you even have that in there with the Israelis agreeing to that?
Well, look at the caveat.
Okay.
Rearrested for the same charges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well,
all you got to do is find another one.
Right. Well, are forced to sign release conditions. I don't know. It seems like if somebody's arrested, don't they have to sign something in order to get out? I don't know.
Well, that's all. Like when we have this D2K report on, mm-hmm. All of it is contract terms. And technically, even if you get like a ticket or you get arrested here, if you don't sign it, there's nothing they can do about it because you're not agreeing to the mm-hmm. contract.
No.
And
no.
Technically, all you have to say is, I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean? You went through a red light. I'm sorry, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. And they can't do anything because it's, it's all corporation and legal terms. It's a contract. That's how they get you. But in this particular case, it's, there's what conditions are you going to give them on release? You know, I'm going to be a good person. Mm. I mean, they're easily going to find something. Listen, yeah. You stole a candy bar from the store. We're going to lock you up now. Yeah. They're going to find something, and it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's all too sweet of a deal for them to pass up.
There you go.
Hey, listen, we can't rearrest you for the same charges, and you don't have to sign anything, okay? I guarantee you if they're out there and they do it again, mm-hmm. it's a new charge,
yeah.
And even if they sign something, it's out the window anyway.
Yeah.
These are all the same thing, making it too good of a deal for them to pass up.
I got a feeling that they're going to have their eyes on these folks. You know, they mm-hmm. they just don't 100%. Seem to ever forget. All right, let's look at phase two here. This is 42 days. Negotiations for phase two, the indirect negotiations will begin by day 16 to define the terms of phase two, including the release of soldiers and other prisoners, and the agreement must be finalized by week 5. Now, keep in mind when you see this, it looks looks pretty good. Indirect negotiations will begin day 16 to define the terms, and then the agreement has to be finalized by week 5. And then think back about how long it's taken to get the ceasefire. How many months mm-hmm. or a year, over a year, that they've been trying to do a ceasefire thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
5 weeks? You think they can do it in 5 weeks, David?
Well, there is that time limit on it. There's no reason they can't do this today, honestly,
right.
All of it. Hey,
right.
Listen, let's stop shooting each other. Mm-hmm. Give me the hostages back. I'll give you your hostages back, and we'll call it even.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Why we got to go through all this mess?
Yeah.
Again, it's a dog and pony show, mm-hmm. and And it's all to demonstrate to the world that Hamas are a bunch of clowns.
I agree, 100%. Okay, and let's look at the next one. So you transition to a suitable calm. A permanent ceasefire will take effect before further prisoner exchanges, including the release of all Israeli soldiers and civilians in return for an agreed number of Palestinian prisoners. And again, that's an up-in-the-air number there. Israeli forces will fully withdraw from Gaza. Then in phase three, the final exchanges and infrastructure rebuilding, both sides will exchange bodies of deceased individuals once identified. That once identified part, that's kind of a sticker. Then you got a comprehensive Gaza reconstruction plan will be implemented over the next 3 to 5 years, including rebuilding homes, infrastructure, and compensating affected individuals. Egypt, Qatar, and the UN will oversee this process. So that's a guaranteed fail right there. And you got freedom of movement and trade. Border crossings will open to allow free movement of goods and people, and that's when they begin to restock with all the military, everything that they got blown up before. They're going to try to bring it back in again because the crossings are completely wide open again.
So again, how could you pass up this deal?
I want to put this one up real quick, and I'm not going to read these, but I'm leaving it up there. If you guys are not watching us in visual form, please do. This is just go to lastchristian.net, and you'll find the links to the show, because all 33 of the hostages that are scheduled to be released in the first phase, I've got those listed on screen right now. And the one thing about this, David, is that it doesn't tell us which ones are alive and which ones are dead. What do you think the proportion of numbers is going to be for live?
I would have no way of knowing. Anything I do would just throw in a guess out there.
Yeah, me too.
And my guess is they probably killed most of them because they're just an evil bunch of folk.
Well, I'm just wondering if it's going to be like there's 33. Are they going to send back 30 bodies and 3 alive, or is it going to be like 18, 15, or whatever that is? I'm terrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any clue. Wouldn't surprise me if all of them were dead.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
They're just evil. I mean,
they really are.
All right, can you put a quota on that? You can't.
Let's look at this. The Abraham Accords, strumming the chords for the time of Jacob's trouble. This is President Trump says, we will continue promoting peace through strength throughout the region as we build upon the momentum of this ceasefire to further expand the historic Abraham Accords. And he's going to be sending, I'm sure, Jared Kushner over there again, his son-in-law. How do you pronounce it, David?
Kushner,
okay.
Yeah.
The big UN peace conference at the UN. Now, this is where we start to get a little bit, where things get interesting. The big UN peace conference at the UN is taking place June the 2nd through the 4th of this year.
Now, that's nice.
Israel is headed into the time of Jacob's trouble through the Abraham Accords, a trap that is the harbinger to the Daniel 9:27 covenant. It says here that Jared Kushner, behind the scenes, is doing what he does best in helping to facilitate the eventual two-state solution that Joel chapter 3 verse 2 says. So get ready to see Israel divided to create Palestine and go ahead given for the third temple to be rebuilt. The words peace and safety have been resounding ever since Trump first revealed his deal of the century. And over the last 4 weeks, the decibels to those words have gone significantly louder to the believer. It is the indicator of the final hour, as 1 Thessalonians 5:3 clearly says. Do you have a comment on that, David? Because this is just a report, coming out of a small paper there in Israel.
Yeah, well, they got a good grasp on things, so that's cool. Usually it's the smaller ones that are better. They're not controlled and told what to say. like us, you know, we'll say what we want because we don't care what you think.
Right.
So that is really the concern. It's really what we have to look at. All this other stuff is minutia. Mm-hmm. The, you know, now we all remember that, you know, Trump pushed the vaccines, but here we have this dichotomy in the people who are supporters of him are also anti-vaccine. Mm-hmm. So how do you negotiate that? Now, we love the idea that Musk made, you know, X and the free speech and all that, but he's also the one that's telling us we got to build this network around the earth and everybody's got to be connected by a brain chip, you know?
Right.
So that's that's precisely how he controls everyone in the world, right, whether they can buy or sell. Mm-hmm. And now here we have, you know, Kushner, I think, is an ideal candidate for the Antichrist. Because he's Jewish, and now he's in here, and he's the Abraham Accord. So we're going to get all of that. And, you know, Abraham actually had a lot of kids, the Medes and the Persians and the Arabs. All of them over there are descendants of Abraham in one way or another, whether they be Jews, whether they be Muslims, or whether they be all those off tribes. Because remember, he had Keturah, he had six more children, and they all became nations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, bringing them all together, the whole, you know, 10 toes thing will bring them all together, and now we're going to have iron mixed with clay.
Mm-hmm.
And that has so many implications.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being machinery with, you know, clay being the natural. So they're going to try and bring that together, and that doesn't work. But there's other implications as well, just as far as the kingdoms go. The kingdoms aren't going to mix because it's iron mixed with clay.
No, right.
But the good news is now that we're getting this iron and clay mix and all this stuff, and we see this agreement, you know, in force, it means the stone that smashes the whole statue is coming, and he'll become a mountain that's bare forever. Well, that would be Jesus. He is that stone in that vision,
right,
that destroys everything, and then he'll rule and reign. And we're getting very close to that. That's really what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I agree. I do want to also put this one up. And this guy is extremely fluent in English for somebody that lives where he does. But I want you to listen to this, because this is what we're looking at coming in the future. This is it. This is what they're talking about when they were speaking about the upcoming conference. Let's just listen to this one real quick.
We in the region are not going to focus only on solving the crisis of the moment. We are going to look at how we can solve the bigger problem in the context of Gaza, that is a real commitment to a two-state solution, that is a credible, irreversible path to a Palestinian state. That's the only reasonable and credible solution that guarantees us from not having to come back to this same situation 2, 3, 4 years down the line. It's good that we hear most of our partners in the international community support that notion. Now we have to translate that into reality.
Okay, so that's from the World Economic Forum, and that that gentleman there is from Saudi Arabia. And according to the Trump administration, it's extremely important. They're going to be working on day one to get Saudi Arabia to do some kind of an agreement with Israel. And I don't know where that's going to go, David, but two-state solution? I mean, we both know that God is not going to stand for the division of Jerusalem. Just not going to do it.
Not going to happen, which is more evidence that he's around the corner. What a beautiful thing. Yeah, and they teach them English over there. Everybody in Europe learns British English. Okay, that whole over there. When we went, you know, we traveled around Europe a little bit, and, you know, You distinctively heard the British accent. If anyone in Spain or Italy or something, it's like, and the Arabs, you know, they got a boatload of money because of the oil, right. So they're all very they're big on that. They learn English along with their language as they're growing up. That's why the guy's good at it, and you can tell the British accent.
Yeah, you can tell he's good at it too. I mean, he didn't even look. Yeah. You know, I've seen people. You know, I've traveled the world too, and I've seen people that have to think first before the you know, before the English happens. Not him. I mean, he was just right on it, you know. But anyway, two-state solution is what he was talking about, and let's look at that too. Now, this report says that it was overshadowed by the ceasefire and hostage exchange, but they held the third meeting of the Global Alliance for the implementation of the two-state solution in Oslo, Norway. There were 80-plus countries and organizations that attended that meeting. The plan is to implement UN Security Council Resolution 2735, which will lead to the two-state solution and the creation of the state of Palestine alongside Israel. The first part of this roadmap is for the two-state solution begins with the ceasefire hostage exchange deal, which begins on Sunday, just one day before Trump takes office. They want to reunify the West Bank, including Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip, under one government. That's the two-state solution that they've got in mind, David. 80-plus countries. I mean, a Security Council, I don't think Donald Trump will allow the United States to vote against Israel in the Security Council. I could be proven wrong, but I don't think it'll happen. And without the Security Council, they can't enforce anything, right?
Right. I mean, that's a straw man entity anyway. I mean, United Nations, who they just saw, oh, we're the tough guys now. Mm-hmm. No, you're not. get real. They just decided to get together. And as learning these things, and when you come out of the world and you're into the kingdom of God, you realize how feckless they are,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're just a bunch of people, you know, spouting, oh, I'm the boss here, I'm the boss there, blah, 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 mm-hmm. and you have to do what I say. Well, no, you're not, you know? Because he said, don't worry about him who could kill the body, but be concerned with the one who could kill your body and throw your spirit into hell.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, that's the one. So that's the real one. And then you start to realize, wait a minute, who is the real kingdom here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all this stuff, you start to look from up here and see that this is just this silly little anthill, you know, and they're all going around and they think they got something, and Jesus is going to come and just step on it and set it on fire any moment. And here they are thinking they're important. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of really the way I look at everything. But it's fun in my eyes to look at it, because what it does, it shows you what God wrote thousands of years ago was spot on for today, which proves that this Bible that you have in front of you is the Word of God.
Amen.
It is Him, and that you better listen to everything in it, because obviously He's the Eternal One.
Amen.
That's why it's fascinating to me.
Well, in that vein, we're going to put this up on screen here. Russia and Iran have officially signed a 20-year strategic partnership agreement that guarantees the security of those two countries. Now, moving on here, it says that Russia and Iran signed an unprecedented 20-year strategic partnership agreement. This says tomorrow, but it has now been completed. The agreement contains 47 articles dealing with a wide range of areas, including military cooperation, economic ties, technology exchange, cybersecurity cooperation, nuclear energy collaboration, regional trade, payment systems, integrations, and more. According to officials familiar with the agreement, it includes several joint defense and military initiatives. For example, the agreement includes a clause that prohibits both signatories from supporting or assisting aggressors against each other in war. Now, to me, David, this is a clear indication of Russia and Iran coming together in advance of the Gog and Magog war. But that's that's how I look at it. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and we talk about them ad infinitum here, and Prince of Persia, and Gog and Magog, and these are the two powerhouses.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, let's rehash that a little bit. There's the principalities and powers. Everyone thinks it's like, oh, it's them against us. No, it's them against themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because even when you look at the prophecies of the 10 kings, there's three of them that rise up from in the midst of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what's that all about? Well, those are the ones that want to be stronger, and they want to take control. So they're all fighting with each other because they all know that they're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, I mean, seriously, if they're doomed, what are they going to do? Just lie down? Oh, okay, we're doomed. Now they're going to continue to try and fight, even though they know that the end is near. And people say that, but well, if the devil knows he's going to hell, why is he doing all this stuff? Because he's still got to try.
Right.
You know?
What has he got to lose?
Yeah, what do you got to lose at this point? So they're going to try. Maybe, my friend Carrie Madej says, you know, they're trying to create a time loop now. So they could be stuck here and never have to go to the end. I mean, they're trying everything they can.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to understand it. That's, if they're trapped in a corner, they're going to try and do everything they can. It's not going to succeed, but they have to try.
Yeah.
So here we are. Now that these two powers that be are going to fight, you know, and they're going to join forces and you're going to see them. So you're going to see all the different powers of the world, which is what we see now. Okay, because now it's the UN versus BRICS, and now we got the Prince of Persia and Magog, and you got all these things, and they're all fighting each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what people don't realize is that is actually the precursor to what we call the Battle of Armageddon when Jesus comes down, because they're in that valley, Harmageddon, which is where we get Armageddon from. They're in that valley fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's how God brings all the armies together. He's going to say, I'm going to bring all the evil armies of the world, and they're all going to be fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Antichrist is not going to be able to take over the whole world. People don't realize that. Some of these nations are going to say, no, we don't want you to control it.
Right.
And this and that. Those are going to be the ones that fight. And then there's going to be the Christians that actually live through it and just say, well, we're not going to do that either. Mm-hmm. So there will be people that live through the tribulation. But you get all these different nations, they're in Harmageddon, and they're battling each other. That's when Jesus comes back, and they all look at each other and say, oh, crap, instead of fighting each other, we got to fight this Jesus fella.
Right.
And then he comes, wipes them all out with his word, his sword, a two-edged sword in his mouth. Yeah. That's how he brings them together. They're all fighting each other. We have to understand that. And the whole world is not going to receive the mark. It's just not.
I just wonder, I mean, you've brought up this a couple of times as far as, what is that word for it is finished? What is that?
Telestai.
Okay, telestai.
I'm
wondering if that's the word that's going to be spoken that ends everything. What do you think? I'm just asking. I don't know.
Well, that would be the consummation of a contract. That's really what that means. So in a defeat, it would be a different word. I'd have to look it up. But tetelestai basically means paid in full.
Okay.
So it's definitely a contract term. And there's something. There's another word. I have no idea what it is right now. We'll find it and talk about it another show.
Okay.
Which
I got very little time left, and I want to get these in real quick. Okay. This one first.
Breaking news just moments ago, a source confirming to Fox News that President-elect Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance will be sworn in indoors at Monday's inauguration. I believe this is only the second time this has happened. The last time it happened was 1985 with none other than Ronald Reagan. There are dangerously cold temperatures that are moving into the region, and it will be the coldest inauguration in 40 years.
Okay. Now, I put that up there, David, because I think there's a lot more to this than just weather. In fact, I'll just make this statement. There is a lot more to this than just weather, okay? I'm going to play this next report. This is from an ex-Navy SEAL and ex-CIA operative. He's got his own podcast. He's got a guy he has a lady that comes on that is his guest that sits with her back to the camera. And anyway, just listen to this one real quick.
Al-Qaeda, these terrorist organizations, the Islamic Army is predicting 50 to 60,000 casualties within the United States alone. We talk about 9/11 was a $500,000 budget.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're sending $40 to $87 million You know, mm-hmm. What is there any, if you, through your network, have you heard anything about 50 to 60,000 casualties?
I mean, if you see that it's going to, I mean, they are talking about mass casualties. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was mentioned several times. And it's really not about to show off. Okay, I mean, if you see the 9/11 attack, it was all about, you know, destroying symbols, and I'm really not about numbers. I mean, 3,000 people died. Now it's all about mass slaughter, and because that's going to paralyze the entire nation. And it's not just about the casualties. Just imagine that services will be shut down. Hospitals will be overwhelmed, you know, taking care of casualties still. I'm not even talking about economic impacts. I mean, if it's happening just at the same time in several big American cities, you know, airlines, they will be stopped for sure. You know, standard operation procedure. So the economic impact of this and the chaos, what it's bringing with it.
The hospitals will be overflowed. Mm-hmm. The first responders, being the police, that will be completely taxed. Mm-hmm. There won't be enough of them.
There won't be enough of them. Okay, now I'm going to throw this up here real quick. Last thing we got from the Department of Energy, or the Department of Energy helicopters are conducting flights over Washington, D.C. right now, scanning for nuclear irregularities in preparation of President Donald Trump's inauguration. They're equipped with highly sensitive technology. Pilots are flying in grid-like patterns to detect any radiological anomalies. We talked about this before, mm-hmm. and I had another source, not that guy, I had another CIO source telling me that that's exactly what all these drones have been around for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happened to them? They're out of the news.
Mm. Yeah. So what do you think, David?
I mean, just as corroborating evidence is all the surrounding police departments refuse to help cover the inauguration. Mm-hmm. That's telling. And all the libtard Democrats, you know, Pelosi and Biden and Obama and all them refused to go to the inauguration.
Michelle.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of them. What's up with that?
Yeah.
You know, what do they know that we don't know?
There's more to it than just plain hate, mate. Hate Trump. I guarantee you that. So we're not saying that, you know, that there's going to be a nuclear strike in the United States on Monday
we're
or anything
just
like
out
that.
For it, that's all.
But, you know, you better, if you see something in this particular case, you better say something. You know, mm-hmm. I saw where in New Orleans somebody picked up a suitcase that the bomber left and carried it a couple of blocks and dropped it off. That's the reason they thought he was involved in the thing. So, you know, people make some stupid decisions like that, and you don't need to make stupid decisions right now, because I think that things are going to really start lighting up here pretty quick. So, anyway, David, we're down to 30 seconds. You take us out.
All right. So, again, we're coming near the end, and this is all exciting if you are with Jesus. Otherwise, it's, you know, it's terrifying. But if you're with the Lord, you know that it's going to be an instant, and then all of a sudden you're on the other side of eternity, ruling and reigning with Him.
Amen.
That's going to be a glorious day. And, you know, I, for one, can't wait. You know, the rapture was today. Awesome. I'm in. You want to be in that position too. So just receive the blood contract that He gave for you. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and hopefully we'll see you in the air. Have a great day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.